Thank you, Miss Rebecca. I've asked Dan to go back to these words real quick. It's been hard to not think about the words we're singing this morning. We've been talking about how we ought to think about what we're singing and not just go through the motions. But with all the scripture Cheryl mixed in this morning, it was almost impossible not to think about the goodness of God while singing this morning. But this was just too good to pass up. Worthy of worship, worthy of praise, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all the glad songs we can sing, worthy of all of the offerings we bring. This morning, before I even go in the pulpit, I want to ask you, if he's worthy of all that, if he's worthy of all that, isn't he worthy of our minds and our hearts and our lives? Isn't he? I don't know if he is. Isn't he worthy? Amen. So before I pray, I just want to take a moment where we would just bow our heads and close our eyes and we would submit our minds and our hearts and our lives to the Lord as we look at his word this morning. Would you just take a moment? Tell the Lord that he's worthy. God, you are so worthy. Lord, you are worthy of our worship, worthy of our praise. You're worthy of honor and glory. You're worthy of all the glad songs we can sing. You're worthy of all of the offerings we bring. And Lord, I pray this morning as a church, we would bring our minds, we would bring our hearts, we would bring our lives, we would bring all that we are. Lord, we would give it to you because you are worthy. Lord, I pray that today as we look at Jesus, Lord, would we look at Jesus? We behold Jesus. Lord, today as we look at Jesus, would you give us the heart of Jesus? Would you give us the heart of Jesus, the heart of a selfless, suffering, sacrificial servant? Lord, today, as we look at Jesus, would you give us the heart of Jesus? You are so worthy. Lord, I pray that it would be your gospel and your power for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This morning, you may be thinking, what in the world is going on? It's been so long since I've seen Seth in a tie. Something special must be going on. And so today we'll be taking the Lord's Supper together. It's something that I've been looking so forward to. I cannot wait to worship with you through the Lord's Supper. And so I pray that even as I'm preaching and as we've been singing, that you've been preparing your heart to worship in that way. If you will, meet me in John chapter 13, the Gospel of John chapter 13. This morning we're going to continue our preaching series, Life as Worship. Life as worship. If you remember, we've been asking the question, what does it mean? What does it mean to give all of me to God? The first week, we looked at Romans chapter 12, where Paul urges the Roman church to give all of their lives, all of their bodies to God as a living sacrifice. And in that, we talked about how all that we do, everything that we do, even as Marty touched on already this morning, when we get gas, when we eat at a restaurant, everything that we do is worship. Everything that we say is an act of worship. Everything that we think is an act of worship. And in that first week, we talked about how we can't separate worship from everything else that we do. That worship is not a piece of our pie chart, the pie chart of our life. It's not a piece of the pie. No, it's a pot of soup touching everything that we do. All of life is worship. And so we ought to give every area, every square inch of our life is to worship God. And then last week, we pulled out a piece of that. And we said, okay, what does it mean to worship God through song? Well, how may I sing in a way that honors and glorifies God? And we said, hey, to do that, to sing in a way that honors and glorifies God, it needs to be consistent with the rest of our life. It needs to be connected with God and with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It needs to be creative. That God is a creative God and he's worthy of creative worship. You remember this. You remember this. And then we talked about how it was to be centered on Christ. How what we sing is to be about Jesus. We don't gather to sing about heaven and blessings and all the other good stuff. No, we gather together to sing about the best thing Jesus. It's to be centered. Christ, centered. Well, this morning, as we talk about life as worship and giving all that we are to God, we want to see how we worship through service. Worship through service. And so if you will, join me, John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17 this morning. A little bit of context here. Jesus has been born of a virgin. He has lived a perfect life. He's been doing miracles. He's been revealing himself as God, been doing all those things. But his earthly ministry is coming to an end here in John chapter 13, and he is going to gather for what we know as the Last Supper with his disciples. Verse 1, John chapter 13. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them until the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand. You don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and my head as well, Lord, not just my feet." Jesus replied, "A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet, to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you. For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, 'Not all of you are clean.'" After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." Here this morning, we have an awesome example of what it means to worship God through service. And in verses 12 through 14, we see that the way we serve others is a big way we worship God. Hear that again. In verses 12 and 14, we see the way we serve others is a big, everybody say big, big, y'all with me this morning. The way we serve others is a big way we worship God. Look at verses 12 through 14. After Jesus, washing their feet, he put on his robe again, right? And he sat down and he asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher. You call me Lord, and you're right because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet." He's saying, yes, if I am your Lord and I am your teacher, and you want to follow me, you want to obey me, you want to worship me, do to others what I have done to you. Since I, you ought. This act of washing others' feet was a response. It was to be a response to the authority and service of Jesus. Remember, all the way back in the beginning verses, it says that Jesus had been given authority, meaning that Jesus was worthy of obedience, that Jesus was worthy of worship. And he says to his disciples, the way you are to do that is to do as I have done to you, and that's to kneel in service. Yes, the way we serve others is a big way we worship God. This is an act of service to our neighbor and to the Lord of all creation, Jesus. When we are genuinely obeying Jesus, when we are genuinely obeying Jesus with pure hearts, we are worshiping Him. And He says, "Do to others as I have done to you." Yes. The way we serve others is a big way we worship God. I'm going to say that a lot this morning if you haven't picked up on that already. The way we serve others is a big way we worship God. And service meant a whole lot to God. It means a whole lot to God. What was Joshua's response, right? The Israelites had a choice. Are we going to serve and worship? Are we going to serve and worship the idols, the gods of pagan nations? or are we going to consecrate, dedicate ourselves to the one true God? What did Joshua say? For me and my house will serve the Lord. For me and my house will worship the Lord. Well, Jesus is saying here, Joshua, the way you do that, one way you do that, a big way you do that, is to love and serve others. Paul would write to the Galatians, serve one another humbly in love. Serve one another humbly in love. And then Peter would write, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. I'm thankful for the musicians and the singers that we have in our church. Thank you, Rebecca, for serving the church so well this morning through song. And the reality is that Lord has made us, designed us, placed us in positions to serve others. And that's a big way that we worship Him. It's a big way that we worship Him. But would you know, and this is what we see in this text, that Jesus didn't just talk about it. Amen? Jesus didn't just talk about it. I've often heard that bosses say, do this. Leaders say, this is how it's done. Jesus was a leader saying, do to others as I have done to you. This is how it's done. He led by example. Jesus gives us an awesome example of God glorifying service in this passage, especially in verse 15. Look with me. He says, I have given you an example to what? To observe? To notice? To say, oh, that's good? No, I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Do as I have done to you. Hear me, church. If Jesus is worthy of honor, if Jesus is worthy of worship, if Jesus is worthy of praises, if He's worthy of every glad song that we have to sing, He is also worthy of our service. Even the way we serve others. He says, I have given you an example to follow. The disciples should have picked up on this, right? Because what does the word disciple mean? The Greek there is diakonos, a servant, a follower. I just used the word for deacon. Disciple means follower. I'm not smart enough to use Greek. Be who you are and don't be somebody else. Disciple means follower. And so they should have understood this. I've given you an example to follow. Well, yeah, Jesus, we've been following you all along. Well, especially follow this. Serve others. Serve others. And so this morning, we just want to take a quick moment to look at how Jesus was an example. We want to look at Jesus' example, and we'll break them into two parts. Two kinds of service this morning. Two kinds of God-glorifying service. One is selfless, and one is sacrificial. And I'll be honest with you, you'll see a lot of crossover here. Selfless service is sacrificial service. Sacrificial service is selfless service. But let's first look at selfless service. We see this in verses 3 through 5 and then on again in verse 11 and then in 38. Jesus was a selfless servant, and so we should be too. In verse 3, we see something. We're reminded about who Jesus is. He says, John writes, Jesus knew that the Father had given Him all authority over everything and that He had come from God and would return to God. Verse 4. So He got up from the table, took off His robe, wrapped a towel around His waist, and poured water into a basin. Then He began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel He had around Him. You want an example of selfless service. How about Jesus, who has all authority in heaven on earth and things under the earth, Jesus, who is worthy of honor and praise and all the glad songs that we can see, Jesus, who has all authority, Jesus, the buck stops with Jesus, Jesus has all authority, yet He kneels to serve others. How about selfless service? This is a wonderful example of what it means to be a Christian. Being in a place of undeserved privilege, but taking the place of a servant. Paul talks about this to the Romans in chapter 12, verse 10 of that letter. He says, be devoted to one another in the Lord. honor one another above yourself. Another translation would say, outdoing one another in honor. Looking out for others' interest. I'll be honest with you. It's hard to imagine. For me, it is hard to imagine the King of all glory kneeling at the feet of others. The King of heaven and earth kneeling at the feet of construction workers, of a tax collector, a fisherman. But the scriptures talk a lot about this selfless service of Jesus. Paul would go on to talk about it in Philippians chapter 2. We actually looked at this last Sunday night. Paul in Philippians chapter 2 is talking about how we are supposed to be citizens of heaven so that we can bring glory and honor to God through the preaching of the gospel, and how this unity among believers, this unity in the church, discredits the gospel quicker than anything else. And so he tells them, hey, have the attitude of Christ. He says this, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. He says, do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourself. Everyone should look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. And you say, okay, how do I do that? How do I not do anything out of rivalry or conceit? How do I act in humility? How should I look out for other people's interests? And Paul simply says, look at Jesus. Have the attitude of Christ. And I'm sure Paul had heard about this instance in John chapter 13 where the King of all glory kneeled before man to serve. And so Paul writes a little poem, actually. It says, make your attitude that of Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, he who was God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. No, as Jesus kneeled before the disciples, he did not look at his godness as something to take advantage of others by. No, he looked at it as an opportunity to serve. In verse 3, he says how Jesus has been given all authority over everything. Verse 4, so he propped his feet up. No, so he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the dirty feet of the disciples. Doesn't this seem kind of backwards? Shouldn't the disciples be arguing about who gets to wash Jesus' feet? No, this is selfish. This is Jesus looking out not only for his own interest, but the interest of others. Yes, this is Jesus outdoing others in honor. This is Jesus following his own golden rule, do to others what you want them to do to you. Yes, selfless service is Jesus having all authority yet kneeling to serve man, kneeling to serve others. But would you know these others aren't just others? Did you know they aren't just others? Jesus, though kings of this world are not worthy to have their feet washed by Jesus, right? But he wasn't even washing kings' feet. He wasn't washing the feet of princes. He's not washing the feet of governors or wealthy givers. He's washing the feet of the unworthy, those who would go on to betray him. We see this as Peter argued with Jesus. No, Jesus, you ain't going to wash my feet. My feet are too bad. You can't go near my feet. I ought to be washing your feet. But then in verse 10, Jesus says, a person who is bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you. For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, not all of you are clean. Who is he talking about? Judas Iscariot. Who, if you look back in verse 2, had already been prompted by Judas, or who had already been prompted by Satan to betray Jesus. Who's he talking about there? He's talking about Peter, who he predicts down in verse 38 would deny him not only once, not only twice, free time. No, Jesus isn't washing the feet of dignitaries. He's not washing the feet of governors or presidents. He's not washing the feet of kings. No, he's washing the feet of those who will betray him. How many of these scattered at the crucifixion? How about Thomas, who doubted his resurrection? Yet the selfless servant who has all authority kneels to serve. Kneels to serve. This is right in line with Luke 6:27, where Jesus says, "Love your enemies. Do what is good to those who hate you." Can I make a confession to you this morning? It's easy to serve those who serve you. But Jesus would ask, how does that make us better than the world? It's easy to serve those who we get along with. It's easy to serve those who we know will do us right. But Jesus, the King of all glory, bends his knees and serves those who will betray him. The Jesus who knows all serves those who will betray him. And there's a question that you hear often in church. Well, what am I going to get out of this? You hear a lot about churches who hesitate to partner with local associations. Well, what are we going to get out of this? In this passage, John chapter 13, nowhere here do we see or hear Jesus asking, well, what am I going to get out of this as he washes the disciples' feet? What will Jesus get out of this? He will get his disciples, those who he is washing their feet, blend into the crowd as they shout, crucify him, crucify him. This is selfless service. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. But his service isn't just selfless. His service is sacrificial. His service wasn't just selfless. It was sacrificial. Again, look at verse 6. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will. How about in a few hours, you might? See, Jesus was born for a purpose. Jesus came into the world for a purpose. And this selfless, sacrificial service of washing his disciples' feet was a symbol. It was symbolism of the future sacrificial service that Jesus would carry out. The future sacrificial service that Jesus was meant for, born for, became a man for. If you look all the way back in verse 1, before the Passover celebration, Jesus was preparing for this meal. Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he had loved them to the very end. Throughout Jesus' ministry, he had pointed to his coming death, burial, and resurrection. And one final time, he points to his suffering, sacrificial service. It had come time for Jesus to fulfill the purpose of his birth. Jesus talks about it in the language of service in Mark 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And how would Jesus serve? And to give his life as a ransom for many. We see Jesus' purpose right at the end of verse 1. It says he had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. Jesus knew all along as he dealt with these hard-headed, sinful men he called disciples. He knew all along as he washed their feet and as he looked forward to their denial, looking toward the cross where he would serve as a sacrifice for the sins of man. What a servant. What a servant. And we see that symbol as Jesus on his knee washes away the dirt. Would you know that these weren't men who got manis and pedis? All right? They weren't. Now you say, but they were preachers. They only worked 2 days a week. Well, they worked a whole lot more than 2 days a week. Going and teaching with Jesus, most of them we would think were bivocational. These were blue-collar men. If they wore sleeves, they wore them rolled up, ready to work. And these feet weren't mani and pedi feet. I don't know which one goes with hands and which one goes with feet. It really didn't matter. They didn't have either. He got down on his hands and his knees, washing the dirt away from the disciples' feet, symbolizing how he would wash away the dirtiest part of their heart. Yes, this was sacrificial service, and it pointed to greater sacrificial service. I can almost hear Jesus thinking as he was on his knees washing the disciples' feet. And I'm sure they're standing back with their eyes wide open, right? Isn't this our Lord and teacher? Isn't he the one? He's already said he's the I am. And I'm thinking, Jesus sitting there, you ain't seen nothing yet. Just wait a few hours. And you'll get a whole lot more understanding for this. This sacrificial service isn't just seen here in John chapter 13. It's not just seen at the end of every synoptic gospel. No, the prophet Isaiah pointed to a suffering servant all the way back in Isaiah chapter 53. He spoke about Jesus saying these things. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance. Jesus, on the other hand, didn't come as a diva. There was nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. Sound familiar? We have left God's paths to follow our own, yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word, like most servants I know. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream, but he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong. He had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. Jesus was selfless. Jesus was sacrificial. Jesus was a servant. This morning, I have to admit to you, I'm not good at this. If you know me well at all, you know I'm not good at this. And so before I preach it to you, I got to preach it to myself. But I'll venture to say, some of you may deal with this too. Some of you may struggle with serving like Jesus. Some of you may say, well, Seth, I'm not a foot person. I remember being a teenager and hearing a preacher preach this and saying that we ought to wash others' feet in service. And I remember thinking, nuh-uh, not me. Feet are gross. I don't wash feet. Well, they call it service for a reason. But isn't Jesus worthy? You know that Jesus we were singing about? Isn't he worthy of us doing things that are a little bit out of our comfort zone? You know, I'm not a humble person. Jesus calls me to be humble and is worthy of my humbleness. I'm not a generous person. Jesus is worthy and Jesus is worthy of my generosity. Jesus is worthy of my knees bending to him. And as my knees bend to him, he says my knees will bend to others. And so two points of application or response this morning. And there are two questions. One is, have you been washed by Jesus? You say, well, I've never had Jesus wash my feet. Nobody's ever washed my feet but me, my mom, and my dad. Question is, has your heart been washed by Jesus? Have you allowed Jesus to wash away the dirtiest parts of your heart? Is there any heart, part of your heart that you're reserving for yourself? There are two common responses to Jesus wanting to wash our feet or wash our heart. One is the response of Peter, oh, no, Jesus. No, Jesus, you can't wash my feet. You don't know where I've walked. Yeah, I ought to be washing your feet. You'll never bow to wash my feet. Would you know this morning that your feet are not too dirty? I've often heard, God can never forgive me. Would you know that if the Lord of all creation can kneel to wash the feet of fishermen, he will kneel and wash you too. You cannot out-sin God's grace. You cannot out-sin God's mercy. This is the message that we preach, and it ought to be the message that we live. Whatever area of your life it is, whatever area you are reserving for yourself this morning, would you submit it to the washcloth that is in Jesus' hand and is dripping with Jesus' blood? This service stuff will not make any sense to you unless you've been served by Jesus. The other response to Jesus washing our feet is, my feet are all right. Jesus, you don't worry about my feet. My feet are clean enough. The words of a prideful and self-righteous man. Jesus, now you go to the next man, you wash his feet, my feet are just fine. Would you know this morning that your feet are stained with sin? You cannot clean your own feet. Your hope for salvation, your hope for satisfaction is dependent on that you be washed by Jesus. Your feet are not too dirty and your feet are not all right. Have you believed in Jesus? I pray that today be the day that you do. Lord, please wash my heart. The greatest act of worship. Lord, would you have my heart? Would you cleanse me? The second question is this. The second point of application and response is this. Are you following Jesus' example? Are you serving selflessly and sacrificially? Say, well, I don't know. Well, who are you serving? Who are you putting first? Who are you giving way to? Who are you missing out on something for? Those are questions that might give you an idea. And remember, Jesus' sacrificial service was to point to greater sacrificial service. He did this so that they may know the truth about him, the reason that he did everything else. Are you serving so that people might know the truth about Jesus? Are you washing other people's feet so that they might know the truth about Jesus? Are you letting others go first so that they might know Jesus? The question there is, does the way you live, does the way you serve affect lostness? Two questions. Have you been washed by Jesus, and are you following the example of Jesus? This morning we're going to take the Lord's Supper, but before that, have a time of invitation. And have a time of invitation. And Lord, I pray that you would work among us. And church, I pray that this morning, if there is any selfishness in you, if there is any pride in you, if there is any I'm not a feet person in you, that today you would repent of that. And today you would follow the example of Jesus, as you are reminded of Jesus' sacrificial service for you. I also pray that today, if you're here and you realize I'm still dirty, I have sin that I've tried to wash away for years and I just can't get rid of it. Today, would you just call on the name of Jesus? Say, Lord, cleanse me. You are Lord, you are teacher, and I want to be yours. Would you cleanse me? And if you do that today, I would love to talk with you after the service about what all that might mean. So I'm going to ask you, would you stand this morning? As you do, I'm going to pray and ask that you come. Respond to the Lord's leading. Father God, would you give us the heart of Jesus? Lord, when we have this heart, there's no room for disunity in a church. When we have the heart of Jesus, we're constantly giving way to others. When we have the heart of Jesus, we're constantly out trying to outdo others in honor. Trying to outserve one another. Lord, I pray that you would make us a church that tries to outserve one another. Not for the glory of self, but for the glory of Christ. And Lord, we're not good at this. I'm not good at this. And Lord, when we're not good at this, there's hurt. There's bitterness. There's unforgiveness. So Lord, I pray that today, be a day of healing. Be a day of forgiveness. Be a day of grace. Where one might go to the other and say, listen, I haven't served you well in the way that I spoke to you. I haven't served you well in the way that I spoke about you. That it might be a day where one who's been hurt says, I'm not going to hold a grudge. I'm going to wash Judas's feet. Lord, would you do this work among us? In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen.